to bring Christian greetings this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. It's good to see everybody here. Glad you could be here with us. You know, see, we think of the season this time of the year, we don't generally think of 60 degrees, but you look outside and it looks pretty foggy and dreary, so it might match the time of the year, the season. But I'm glad we have a nice, we're blessed with a nice warm place to be together. You know, we're in what is called the Christmas season. We're living in a world that has become very sensitive to anything that is associated with Christian. Instead of Merry Christmas, we hear a lot of Happy Holidays. And we see bumper stickers that say, "Let's keep Christ in Christmas." And I don't know what all comes to your mind when you think of Christmas. And do you see the nativity scenes depicting Mary and Joseph? Like was mentioned this morning, the devotional, standing or sitting in a little stable with sheep contentedly lying along beside, while baby Jesus is lying on some nice clean straw in their manger? Or does Christmas make you think of lights and the mad frenzy of last-minute shopping? This past Thursday morning, I had something came up. I needed to check something out on a job, and I made an early morning run down to Indian Point, down to the lake, and it took me right past Silver Dollar City, the entrance there. It was still dark when I came past that entrance, and everything was glittering and beautiful there at the entrance. And as I looked up on the hill, I could see all the lights they have for their light show. Trees all lit up, buildings outlined. There's a whole row you could see because of it being dark and the leaves on the trees. And I knew there were thousands that made their trip down there to take that tour and look at those lights. And it has its own uniqueness. But as I thought about that and thought of the magnificence of the night sky with all its galaxies. And just a couple mornings before, it was just a beautiful sunrise. You know, what a mighty God we serve. Awesome. You know, how insignificant those lights looked. As I pondered the true meaning of Christmas, does Christmas make you think of all that was given for you? A loving Savior that was willing to leave the splendor and the glories of heaven so that I might have life, so that you might have life, so that you might have it more abundantly. Does Christmas make you think of giving, of reaching out to those with needs around you, of brightening some little ones' lives, or warming some struggling person's heart with thoughtfulness? And where does it take us? I'm going to read a couple of verses here from 2 Peter chapter 1. Start out here. If you want to turn with me, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. As we think of Christmas and we think of Christ's birth, Christ's coming, I think these verses shed some light. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. But we also have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So he's saying here, we heard the voice that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and it came from heaven. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. And he talks about the light that shineth in a dark place, the day star. You know, I've titled the message this morning, Star of Bethlehem. It says, this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, that day star, Jesus Christ, that's what those holy men of God spoke about as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, this past Sunday, we heard about the sovereignty of God. David talked about faith. And that verse was mentioned, I think, both in the opening and the message, that verse in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. As we think of fulfillment of Scripture and Christ coming to earth as a man, 100% man, born of a virgin, 100% God, we have all these prophecies. He came wrapped. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, Jesus could have been born under any circumstance that God chose, but he was born in a stable, a manger for his bed. You know, King of kings and Lord of lords coming to earth in this way. You know, when a prince or a princess is born today, you know, there's a big deal made about it. You see it, you can read about it everywhere. Everyone knows their name. They're given the best care there is to have in care. They're just everything that can be done for them, protection. Nothing is spared. Every precaution is taken for their health and for their safety. You know, but for Jesus, for his mother, a donkey was her last ride there before he was born. No clean hospital for his birth, not even an inn. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The Word was made flesh and came to earth to dwell among us. You know, somehow, most of the world missed God's sign. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading this morning, and I know the Luke 2 account was read, but I'd like to put the two together, the Matthew account and Luke's account. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, I'd like to start there. And just think, you know, maybe a lot of you have read these to your children already this week. But it's just beautiful, and there's so much in it. And I think just reading the Word of God, there's something that it's the Word that speaks to us. So let's, if you want to follow along or just listen, either one, I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary for thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, if you want to turn over to Luke, I'm going to read Luke 1 through 20 there again, just to bring it into the... And then we're going to go back to Matthew. Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now going back to Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there heard a voice heard, lamentation, and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go unto the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Notice how many times it talked about that it was fulfilled. How many prophecies? There's over 40 prophecies in the Old Testament that prophesy of Jesus coming and where he's different aspects of his coming. You know, God is a sovereign God. What God says, he will do. He could have chose a lot of different ways, but he didn't. There was reasons. But you know, even though these things were all prophesied, somehow most of the world missed God's sign. The Jews were looking for a Messiah. Even Herod's scribes knew that Micah 5:2 predicted that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Why didn't they recognize him when he came? You know, they couldn't see the divine in the ordinary. They missed him altogether. They were expecting something spectacular. A political Messiah that would deliver them from the Romans. But they weren't expecting a baby in a manger. You know, all these different prophecies that were given them. All these signs. But they missed it. It was too simple then. You know, for many people, it's too simple today. Luke 2:12, the angel told the shepherds, he said, You will find a baby. You know, the truth of the incarnation. Although he was still truly God, he took on humanity, fully God and fully man. The central truth of Christianity. You know, God entered human history in order to provide salvation, for our salvation. You know, what we couldn't do, he did for us through his Son. And everything else flows from this truth. If he had not been born, he would not have died. Now, this great truth has been a matter of a lot of controversy through time, through history. Some religions believe that Jesus was a great teacher. Some believe that, say, he was a great prophet, or maybe he's one of many gods. But we notice in Matthew 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, he said, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. And so others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said unto he asked them, But whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and told him, he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, this is what Christians believe. He is the way, the only way that leads to eternal life. You know, he came after he was born. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And my understanding is that it would have been the custom to take strips and wrap him around him. And they'd be completely all wrapped up tight where they couldn't move their legs or their arms. And most likely it was a way to try to keep them warm, to keep them from getting sick. In an era where many children died before their first birthday, they were very concerned about this. But isn't it interesting that at the end of his life, he was also bound, standing before the Jewish authorities, bound and guarded as if he were a common criminal, awaiting the verdict that would end his life. And looking at his humble beginning on this earth, it's clear that he didn't come for only the rich and the prominent. He didn't come for the faith of a few, but to be the Savior of all mankind. He was bound so that we can be set free. Lying in a manger, like Lyle mentioned, it was most likely a stone trough. You know, and I can't help but believe that Joseph and Mary did the best they could possibly do. And the circumstances. I can't help but believe that they both struggled with, just imagine that the feeling all that they knew, all the prophecies, and here they were. What was happening here? This was the circumstances they found themselves in. Here lay the Savior of mankind, and they couldn't offer him any better accommodations. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Who hath known the mind of Christ? His ways are past finding out. Don't you think that's why God sent them the confirmation of what those shepherds saw, the shepherd's story? You know, that song that shepherds told them about must have been music to Mary and Joseph's ears. It says, Mary kept all these things in her heart, pondered them in her heart. And don't you think that those were things that she was going to have to pull back on to bring to mind later on when things looked bleak and hopeless? Those promises. Glory to God in the highest, praising and glorifying God. You know, first of all, I said glory to God in the highest. You know, God should always be first in our hearts. First in our hearts today, we should be praising God and thanking him for his greatness. For the greatness of his love to us. For his word that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now that scene at Bethlehem is one of utmost simplicity. You have a young mother, a father, a baby. Thus the word was made flesh to dwell among us. What God does is simple. It's clear. The message for us today is also simple and clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now those who come in simple faith to the Lord Jesus can find great peace. In the passage we read, you know, we have the center figure, baby Jesus. We have a young lady, a young man, an aged man, an aged older lady. We have the shepherds representing the working class. We have the wise man representing the wealthy. Whosoever will may come. Numbers 24:17 says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. The star of Bethlehem. Revelation 22:16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and on the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. You know, the timeline of the wise man coming to see Jesus could have very likely been a year after his birth. There in verse 16 of Matthew 2, it says that Herod had all the children killed 2 years and under. And I always thought it was the boys 2 years and under. I still think it probably was, but I wasn't able to find that. So if you got any input on that, I'd be interested in that. But he, going 2 years and under, he probably added some time to that to make sure that he had this rival king taken care of. And it was prophesied by Jeremiah. You know, as I thought about that, why did God allow this? And I don't know, and we can only assume. But you maybe, a lot of those women that followed Jesus some 30 years later were those that had lost their children at the time of that ruthless decree. I like to think that 30 years later, as they heard when they started hearing about the man that was healing people, about the man that was touching people's lives and had this wonderful message, they started putting things together. And they wondered, maybe this is that king that Herod was trying to get rid of. I don't know. We don't have a lot of details about that account, but we know there were at least two wise men that came to Bethlehem seeking Jesus. And they were most likely men that had studied astrology. Coming from the east, they may have come from Babylon, where there were still lots of Jews. Did they have access to the verse in Numbers? We don't know, but later God spoke to them in a dream, telling them not to go back to Herod. So maybe God spoke to them in a dream or by angels as he did to the shepherds. But whatever this supernatural star was that guided them to the house, by this time, the guest area would have most likely been available. It says they came to the house. And it wasn't, I believe it was definitely had to be something supernatural that pointed him right to it. And I personally don't believe it was something everybody else saw, but it's something that was made visible to them. The Bible mentions three gifts, so we often think of there being three men. You know, maybe it was those gifts that funded their trip to Egypt. We have so many prophecies that foretold Christ's coming, so many details that were fulfilled. Do we believe that God is a sovereign God? Does it strengthen our faith to see what God says He will do? God is a God of order. There were three sets of 14 generations to Christ's coming. And those things are there for a reason. You know, these wise men faced a decision. Were they going to pursue the star? You know, there was a lot of stars. There were many stars. But their focus was on a single star. A star hidden among so many others, but so different. A star that would lead them to the light of the world. You know, I think it took those wise men out of their comfort zone. They not only searched diligently for him, but they brought their best gifts with them to give to Christ. You know, we have been made keenly aware in the last weeks that life is short at best. Christmas is different this year. And we don't know the future. You know, that's not so important. But what is important is, are we bringing our best? Will we pursue Jesus? Will we recognize the amazing signs God places around us that point to the reality of Christ Jesus? Will we heed His commands when He speaks to us through His Word and those that He brings into our lives to help us on our journey? Parents, brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I was struck with the thought of our responsibility to work for Christ. The brother that spoke at my cousin Eldon's funeral a week ago. He had spent the day before Eldon's passing with Eldon. And he said that one of Eldon's big concerns is that he needed a full-time job. Eldon, I think, is about 35. He had some limitations. He wasn't strong physically. And he wasn't able to hold just any job. But you know what he did? He did with all his heart. And in recent family devotions, his prayer request was for a job, that God would give him a job. And you know, excuse me. He went to bed that night after spending the day there. He went somewhere to, I think they were cleaning a Bible school. You know, he never really woke up the next morning and went to bed not knowing anything was wrong. But God heard and he answered his request. And I believe he has a full-time job. And I had to think of others of our loved ones and friends that are getting to sit at his feet this morning, getting their questions answered. You know, it all becomes, I believe, to them, things are clear. You know, his ways are so much higher than our ways. Excuse me. And the challenge I'd like to leave this morning, are we following the star, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? You know, as I mentioned there in the beginning, as we think of Christmas, what do we think of? But I believe if our perspective is right, if we're seeking him with all our hearts, then Christmas will be kept in the proper perspective. And when Jesus left his disciples, he told them he is coming again. His first coming happened just like it was prophesied. We have so many prophecies, so many things that were fulfilled. You know, his second coming will be the same. It's going to be when, we don't know. At best, it's not long for any one of us. But you know, wise men still seek to follow the star. Where do we find ourselves this morning? Are we one of those wise men? Are we one of those that seek him with our whole hearts? And if we are, I believe we can have the confidence that we will find him, just like those wise men did. We won't be disappointed. And that's a challenge I'd like to leave with us this morning. Let's diligently seek him, bring him our best gifts. Let's kneel for prayer.